We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
I'm John Batchelor, and I'm joined by my colleague and co-host and co-pilot, David Livingston, of The Space Show. And we're very pleased to head to low Earth orbit with Jeremy Grimmett, the founder and CEO of Rogue Space Systems. Jeremy's going to help us understand one aspect of what needs to be done in low Earth orbit going forward forever. I read from the fall of 2021. This is an item about the Space Force. Space Force launches Orbital Prime program to spur market for on-orbit services. Described as Orbital Prime will focus on the emerging market sector known as OSAM, O-S-A-M, short for On-Orbit Servicing, Assembly, and Manufacturing. Jeremy, I believe that is your introduction. You are on stage. What does Rogue Space Systems do? How do you connect with the Space Force's ambitions? Good evening to you.
Hey, thank you so much, John, for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here. Rogue Space Systems, simply put, we build space robots. And those space robots are designed and engineered to deal with OSAM problems and conduct OSAM operations. One of our very first customers, Orbital Assembly, they're building a gravity ring in space, very large structure. So we're helping with that. But the primary focus of Orbital Prime and SpaceWorks is to deal with space debris, because that is one of the initial forays that we as technologists have to perfect to go and do all kinds of other things in space. So if we can go and deal with a non-cooperative object in space, then we can go and deal with cooperative things in space. So this is their first foray into it. This is their initiative to kick off and try and start spurring the market, because government leads, and these guys at SpaceWorks are doing an amazing job of trying to set that trend.
So Orbital Prime is the big concept, and OSAM is the immediate challenge, which is on-orbit servicing, assembly, and manufacturing. And a subset of that is solid waste removal. You know, we had news recently of the Chinese claiming that their space station was threatened by, I believe, Starlink is what they pointed to. But in any event, we can only anticipate that there will be more of these disputes in low Earth orbit coming forward. And your organization is ready to respond to those in some fashion to improve low Earth orbit conditions. Is that correct, Jeremy?
100% correct. We're not ready to respond. We are responding.
Wonderful.
That's one of our differentiators. We're not talking about doing something. We're actively delivering solutions and putting proposals together to get it to the government and let us get in there and help.
David?
It says that you're using active debris remediation. How do you describe that versus, I guess, the opposite would be passive debris remediation?
So active debris remediation would be, for example, we take a spacecraft, one of our orbots, we call them orbots, orbital robots, and we fly up to an object, we grab that object, and then we move that object to a certain point, a certain altitude, to allow it to start deorbiting and burning up into the atmosphere. As far as passive is concerned, passive remediation would be things like doing preventive measures, or in another case would be where we take our spacecraft, we get right up to that object, we attach a device that will, like a tether, springs out creates more drag in the atmosphere because there is a little bit of atmosphere in low Earth orbit. So we attach a ribbon, a very long ribbon, and that drag increases when it's deployed and causes that object to burn up into the atmosphere a lot faster than it would have naturally.
Jeremy, you're in the forefront of orbital prime contracts. Is this a rich landscape for investors to get involved in? I've always talked for years about the commercial space market in terms of boosters, but this looks to be equally dense with possibilities.
Absolutely. So we're very bullish on the prospect of an in-space economy. And I think that is why we're in this amazing moment in human history and industrial revolution. So, I mean, this is kind of like a new space revolution, so to speak. And if you look at, it's the same basic concept of what happened at the turn of the 20th century, between the 19th and 20th centuries. You had the advent of the railroad, right? You got train tracks getting laid across the country. Along those train tracks, you have settlements. Along those settlements, you start getting telegraph lines and communications. You have all the logistics to support that. It's the same exact concept with space. We needed the railroad tracks, SpaceX, Rocket Lab, Blue Origin, all these rocket companies, Astra. They're all developing the train tracks and the railroads for us to get us to space cheaper, faster, and easier, safer, right? That's in place. Starlink, OneWeb, distributing and moving internet into space and removing terrestrial restrictions, removing terrestrial bounds of communication lines. There's your telegraph. It's exact alignment. Now we're starting to seed and bring in more people into space. We're getting commercial astronauts. We're getting new space stations. You have commercial space stations being developed. You got companies that are like Orbital Assembly, designing and engineering gravity rings to extend human life. Now you've got wonderful, brilliant thought leaders like Jim Green, who recently retired from as chief scientist of NASA, who's now spending his time looking at terraforming Mars and designing structures in space to help support these types of human endeavors. So right now is this nascent, beautiful, unique moment in human history where we are able to get in early from an investment standpoint. You know, we're on the nascent
right
edge, as you were saying, in this new revolution. And I think it's going to be an amazing ride. It's going to be unreal.
David, we have a couple of minutes.
With the Space Force program, do you have to win a competitive bid? How do you get selected? How do you get to work with the Space Force?
So the way it works is it's broken up into primarily three, upwards of four different phases. You have a phase one, a phase two, phase three, and or what's called a Stratfire TAC-5. Right now, we're working on phase one proposals. Those are small business technology transfer proposals where we are partnering with a number of research and educational institutions from all across the country. Rogue alone, we're putting together 20 STTRs right now to submit into the phase one. So that's 20 different organizations, 20 different proposals for different technologies.
We have about a minute, Jeremy, about a minute. Go ahead.
So that's how you get in. You win that phase one proposal. If they really like your performance, they move you to phase two, give you more money, and then ultimately phase three, and you get under a contract.
Jeremy, Rogue Space is clearly high profile. Are you seeing actors from other countries? We note the UAE is in space. Space robots. It's got a orbiter up in Mars, I think, right now. Are other countries interested in coming in this concept of orbital space? We have about a minute.
Yes, there's a lot of activity internationally. There's a few orbital services companies like Astroscale, ClearSpace. These guys are also at the forefront and taking very proactive approach in conjunction with the ESA, European Space Agency, in order to get these technologies out there. So there's a lot of activity. It's going to be really interesting over the next couple of years.
Jeremy Grimmett. He is the founder and CEO of Rogue Space Systems. I recommend the website. It's quite attractive, and it explains a deal about what can be done, what is coming online. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N, with David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.